Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you that indeed we're your children. And like children before a loving Father, we ask your continued support on this journey of faith. Speak to our hearts as we listen to your preached word and let us respond accordingly. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to join me and let's give a hand to our flute chorus and to our choir. Very good, very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It comes from the gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verses 30 through 35. Let us prepare to read it together, God's word as the people of God. It's printed on the back of your worship bulletin, or you may have it in your Bible as well. Let us read God's word together as the people of faith. And here's what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, open eyes wide open, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. It really happened. The master has raised up, and Solomon saw him. And then the two went over everything that happened on the road, and they recognized when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, The Journey of Faith, The Journey of Faith. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, The Journey of Faith. Of course, you see in the backdrop of that title, men in heels are flats. I'm wearing flats because women wear flats too. Amen. But that was yesterday. As it relates to walk a mile in her shoes, bringing awareness to domestic violence and also giving support to those who are victims. And we want to continue to keep that effort going as it relates to bringing awareness and giving support. Well, let me share with you at our last service, we had a group of teenagers who were with Steve and Kathy high and lifted up in the balcony. And of course, several of them have their driver's license, and I shared this story with them, and maybe you've heard it before. As it relates to a teenager who with a lot of excitement, a lot of joy, had his driver's license, and he went to his father, and he said, Dad, I'm ready now. I want to borrow the car. And his father said, when you get a haircut. He had long hair. Well, he didn't get a haircut, but then he went the next day and said, Dad, I'm ready to hold the keys to the car. His daddy said, when you get a haircut. Well, he decided to get a little spiritual. He got his Bible. He read his Bible very carefully and came back to his father and said, Dad, in my Bible it says Jesus had long hair. His father took the Bible from him and he started to turn the pages and he said, yes, and he walked everywhere he went. So I want to talk about the journey of faith this morning. All right, the journey of faith. On Wednesday night, we're studying Dr. Tony Evans' book as it relates to Kingdom Disciple. And he has a quote in there. And let me share the quote as well as some other things. It says, one key to understanding what you read is the ability to identify the main part of the book, advancement of his kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom from Genesis to Revelation. It is about God's kingdom and everything within between. I want to share with you and call your attention to this passage of scripture from Luke, the 24th chapter. It is one of the citations as it relates to Jesus coming and sharing with his disciples 11 times after doing a 40-day span. He appeared to his disciples 11 times. Now, Luke is different than the other gospel writers. He's a little lengthy. He's a physician. This is not the only book he's going to write. He's also going to have part of what we know as the Acts of the Apostles. But if you look at Luke, the 24th chapter, it starts out with the first verse and continues to verse 23. That's where it ends. In between are several stories as it relates to the resurrection and the appearance of Jesus Christ to his disciples. I want to call your attention to the first story that Luke tells because it fits right in to what we experienced on yesterday, bringing awareness to domestic violence and also continuing to teach others how to respect women. Hey, look at this crowd, and we have one guy with the shoes. He's in the middle on a wheelchair. He works with our superintendent. That's Earl Johnson. He really gave out of gas. He's a former football player. Gave out of gas and had to use a walker. All right, that's right there. That was living proof right there. But anyway, that's the crowd who was there, and it was a great opportunity in sharing. But if you look at the passage in Luke, the 24th chapter, you'll notice at the beginning, there's a story that Luke is sharing. And Luke is sharing as it relates to women running to the tomb of Jesus. They were going there out of tradition. During this particular time in biblical history, the Jews would go and they would continue to celebrate the life of the deceased, but also to anoint their bodies. And so they were burying, they were bringing the spices, even though Jesus was already buried. And the stone was rolled away, not that Jesus could get out of the tomb, but the ladies and the followers could get in the tomb. If you notice in Luke, the 24th chapter, and you'll see here how when the women arrived, the Bible says they were terrified and afraid. And an angel was there, and the angel asked the question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen, just like he said." Those women were still perplexed and disturbed, and Luke gives a description that even though they were troubled, they went forth and went out to share the good news. If you look closely at this passage of Scripture, you'll notice that Luke gives us the names of three women, and then he gives us a reference. He says, "and other women." Look to your neighbor and say, "He's going somewhere." Yeah, follow me if you please. He acknowledges Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. This is very unusual in this day and time and culture. Because women, even if they would see something happens as it relates to a criminal act, they couldn't go into the courtroom and give witness. And yet Jesus transformed the whole scene along with God in the midst of this culture and elevates this culture to acknowledge women. Because if you look at the backdrop of this, you could easily see that when you read as it relates to women coming to tomb, and all four gospel writers give us the record. Well, Matthew comes along and he only shares about two names. He shares it relates to Mary Magdalene, that's the name again, and he also shares to Salome. But then when Mark comes along, Mark just gives us some reference of women. John comes and he shares his interpretation, and John only identifies one woman, Mary Magdalene. But here in Luke, he just shares the whole loaf, the whole story. But each gospel account gives reference to one woman. Who is it? Mary Magdalene. Yeah, Mary Magdalene. And they share that because Jesus Christ is elevating this woman right before the culture that doesn't identify and acknowledge women. Now, you could easily ask the question, and I mentioned this at the last two services, why in the world would Jesus, knowing that it's a dominant society, a male-dominant society, and the disciples need to receive the news, and he's going to use a woman? Well, let me tell you. The women ran to the tomb. The disciples ran to the upper room. They were hiding. And so God uses this moment to elevate this woman. And he uses at a very sensitive time in the culture and the environment as a good lesson tool. Why use Mary Magdalene? Well, look closely at her life. The Bible says when Peter encountered Jesus, remember Peter's brother Andrew was the first disciple. He introduced him to the master. His name was Simon. He changed his name to what? Peter, stone, rock. Well, Mary, she's elevated even more. Because when Jesus met her, she had seven demons. And he cast out all seven. Next time you read about her, it's in John, the 13th chapter. It's more than a moment of celebration that we do during Lenten season. The Bible says she took some oil and she anointed Jesus. Not only that, she even used her own hair to wipe his feet. But when you continue to read about her, she became a follower of Jesus. She was there during the crucifixion. She was there during the burial, and she was there during the resurrection. And he uses this woman's life because she was transformed. When we're transformed, God will use our lives. Look closely in the text, and you can see evidence of that all through the text. And all through Luke, the 24th chapter, because it deals with three points. And let me give them to you. Number one, the witness. Mary and the others are the witnesses. Number two, the word of God. And we'll get to that moment in a few minutes. And number three, worship. If you look closely in Luke, the 24th chapter, you'll notice something as it relates to the evidence that Jesus wanted his disciples and followers to know that he was alive. How many of you, by a quick survey, have been to a dinner in the last few days? Just by raising your hands, not a trick question. All right. How many have had something to eat? Hello? All right, there you go. All right. During Jewish custom, if one was invited to a home and share in a fine course meal, if that meal was a great meal after you have digested all the food off your plate, the way to identify and to share with those who brought you into their home as they host you into their homes was to take your napkin and fold it and place it by the plate. That was a symbol in Jewish custom that all was well and you enjoy that delicious meal. Now, on the other side of the coin, if that meal wasn't up to par, and the hospitality was not to the top of the mountain, then you wouldn't insult your host by saying your meal you can't cook. You're a religious cook. You like to have burnt offerings. You couldn't do that. You couldn't say that. But what you did is you would take your napkin, and you would take that napkin and not place it near the plate, but you would place it near the door. And that would be a message to your host that I'm not coming back anymore. And that was true. Here's what I'm saying. If you look at John, the 20th chapter, and look at this passage of scripture of these women in the tomb and running to the tomb, when they entered the tomb, they passed the evidence. You remember Jesus? There were linen placed on Jesus, and the citation is right here. And they even put a napkin around his face. And the Bible says that when Jesus resurrected from the grave, his linen was placed in order. And then that which was around his head was placed at the door as a symbol to the disciples and to the grave. I won't be back this way again, because Jesus Christ is alive. He's no longer in the tomb. He's alive and he lives forevermore. Christ the Lord is risen today. This is what the angel shares with these women, and they are excited. And then the Bible goes on, and by Luke shares in the 24th chapter, he comes to the 13th verse. And if you look at the sermon notes, and you'll notice here that these disciples are perplexed. They're disturbed. And let me help you fill in your sermon notes. The two disciples were feeling perplexed, full of sadness, for one very simple reason. These two were seeking to understand the death and the empty tomb of Jesus. Now, doesn't matter what translation you have. If you look at your translation very closely, you'll see that Luke gives us the name of one disciple. His name is Cleopas. But it doesn't give us the name of the other. Now, many Bible scholars believe it was his wife, and so they wouldn't have acknowledged his wife with him, but just refer to her as a disciple. That was strange in itself right there. Others believe, indeed, it perhaps was a man, but yet Cleopas and another disciple, what were they doing? They were walking and talking. They were walking and talking about all things that had occurred. And lo and behold, they come upon a stranger. Now, you and I know it's Jesus, but it wasn't revealed to them at that time. But it's a good reminder of how we treat folks. In fact, I want to share this quote with you from the former First Lady, Barbara Bush. Never lose sight of the fact that the most important yardstick of your success will be how you treat other people. Your family, friends, and co-workers, and even strangers you meet along the way. End of quote. Oh, that's good. It reminds us on the journey of faith, indeed, we will encounter different people along our journey, and perhaps for some, the only gospel they'll read will be our lives. You look at this passage of scripture very closely, and you see these two disciples, they were walking. They were walking and talking about all that Jesus did, all that Jesus encountered as he shared his miracles and how he was crucified, and then how they buried Jesus, and they were just walking alone. And lo and behold, here comes Jesus, and they didn't recognize him. Can you imagine that? They had been with the disciples and yet now they have been with Jesus and now they can't recognize him. And Jesus asked a question. What things? And you can imagine why they responded the way they did. Look closely if you have it in your Bible and you'll see. They said, are you the only one that's been here and don't know what has happened all these days? Are you the only one in Jerusalem? See, they were making a journey to the Emmaus, and they were traveling from Jerusalem to the Emmaus village, and it was only a two-hour walk. But while they were walking those 7 miles, they were able to talk about Jesus. And they come to this stranger. And now this stranger wanted to know what they were talking about. And if you have your Bibles, look at verse 19, and I'm going to read it for you. What things, Jesus asked? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. But our leaders had him handed over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And look at the 21st verse. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who was to come to rescue Israel. This happened 3 days ago, as they are walking and talking, they share with this stranger that we had hoped that he was the Messiah, the one to save us. But our chief leaders turned him over to be crucified. When Jesus died, their hope died. When Jesus died, their aspirations for life died. And so now they're reminiscing. And Jesus is right there with them, but they're still in grief and despair and discouraged. Have you ever been there? When you seem as though you can't acknowledge God and refer to God, and yet they're talking along the way. Now, here's what we would say perhaps is an insensitive response. Look how Jesus responded to them, because they were telling them, they were telling him that the women had went to the tomb and couldn't find his body. But look closely in the 25th verse. Listen well. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures." Jesus called them foolish. Foolish. He's standing right before them, and they didn't recognize him. Sometimes things can be right before us, and we can't recognize. Sometimes you can be looking for your keys and they're right before you. Sometimes you could be looking for your glasses and you have them right in your hand. Have you been there? Don't answer. These disciples were perplexed and confused, and yet Jesus tells them, "You're being foolish. Don't you understand?" Look at verse 26. He shares with them that the Messiah must have suffered all these things. And then this is what I love as he continues to share with them. He gives them a Bible study. Here's Jesus sharing with them, and he gives them a Bible study. And listen well, he says, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Here's a beautiful illustration that you have Jesus, the living word, sharing the written word. The living word teaching them as it relates to the written word. And it doesn't matter what translation you have, all translations acknowledge that he takes them through the books of Moses, all five books known as the Pentateuch. And don't let anyone fool you that Jesus is not only in the New Testament, he's in the Old. Remember when God created the universe and everything was good? He created humankind and he said what? "Let us make man in our own image." Who is the us? God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They were present. Jesus talks about himself. He shares as it relates to the laws of Moses and the books of Moses. Can you imagine seeing him just sharing as it relates to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? He shares as it relates to the children of Israel going across the Red Sea. He perhaps shared that beautiful story, which was a prelude of his own life and how he must sacrifice his own life when Abraham takes his young son Isaac to Mount Moriah. And that young boy said, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham says, "The Lord will provide the sacrifice." Can't you see Jesus as he concludes talking about Moses and the first five books of the Bible? He goes to the prophets and he talks about the major prophets and the minor prophets. He talks about Isaiah all the way to Malachi. He tells them and teaches them about the scriptures and about himself. And they were so actively engaged because he was teaching them the word. So you have the witness, you have the word, and watch this. In the course of the conversation, as it concludes, Jesus is getting ready to go another direction. But look closely in your Bibles around Luke, the 24th chapter, in the 28th verse. They stopped him. And the Bible in the King James says, and they begged him to share with them and to stay with them. King James says, to abide with us. One of the great points in this passage of Scripture as we have this journey of faith is to remember God will not thrust himself upon us. He wants to be invited. They invited him in to dwell with them. It is good news to know that indeed he accepts their invitation and he's willing to go home with them. We have come to worship God this morning, but it's beyond this worship service. We should say, just like these two disciples, I want Jesus to go home with me. I want him to go and dwell with me. Look what happened while they go home and share with Jesus. They invite him into a meal because it's late at night. And the host obviously brought the food to the table. But look what Jesus did. He transformed the setting. Now he's the invited guest. But when it came time to consume and to break bread, who's breaking the bread? Jesus. The Bible says after he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he gave it to them. And it was not until this time, if you want to fulfill your scripture notes, it was not until they saw him break the bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Do you recognize Jesus today? Here we have our communion table. And we periodically, beyond First Sunday, have Holy Communion. And it's an open table. The United Methodist Church has an open table. This is not a Starbucks table. Some of you will get that on the way home. This is an open table. All are invited to the Lord's table. And when we have the breaking of bread, it reminds us that our eyes and our hearts should be open to worship him in spirit and in truth. These disciples were so excited when Jesus disappeared from them. They didn't just stay there with the news. Oh, no. They witnessed and found the other 11 and the friends, and they share that indeed the Lord is alive. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And thanks be to God that indeed he is alive today. And so we need him to walk with us as we witness, to walk with us as we study and learn his word, and to walk with us as we worship him in spirit and in truth. But let me close by sharing this personal question with you, and only you can answer that, and only I can answer it for me. These men said, did not our hearts burn within why he spoke with us on the roadside? Question, is my heart burning within me? Yes or no? For something within me that holds the range, something within me that banishes all the pain, all that I know, hallelujah, is that I have something within me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.